Welcome to Audio Notes. I'm David Finkel, Artistic Director of Music at Menlo, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce you to the music you'll be hearing at the festival this summer. For Music at Menlo's 13th season, we'll explore, with a more concentrated focus than in any previous summer, the life and work of one of history's most extraordinary musical figures, the Austrian composer Franz Schubert. In addition to ranking among history's most cherished musical voices, Schubert remains one of Western music's most fascinating and confounding figures. The only composer of the Viennese canon native to that city, Schubert represents a bridge from the classical era to the Romantic generation. Born in 1797, 12 years before the death of the father of the classical style, Joseph Haydn, Schubert lived but an ephemeral life. Beethoven, the composer whom he most revered, was 26 years his senior. Their deaths were separated by just 20 months. But what Schubert accomplished in his short life is astonishing. He enjoyed recognition in his lifetime for only a small part of his staggering output, the gradual revelation in the decades after his death of what he had done is unprecedented among the great composers. In addition to his epic contributions to the piano, chamber, and orchestral literature, his oeuvre of more than 600 lieder revolutionized the genre, transforming it into one of the Romantic era's essential art forms. And as illness forced him to confront his mortality before his 30th birthday, Schubert, who once claimed, "I have come into the world for no purpose but to compose," produced a stream of masterpieces unequaled by many composers over entire lifetimes. Nearly two centuries after his death, Schubert's place in the pantheon is secure, but his music continues unceasingly to offer new discoveries and immense rewards. Audio Notes are designed to enhance your enjoyment and deepen your appreciation of the music you'll be hearing at the festival. I'll be joined by artistic co-director Wu Han, Audio Notes author and producer Patrick Castillo, and some of this season's festival artists to offer historical and cultural context and a variety of perspectives on this summer's concert programs. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you at the concerts.
With Schubert's Quartet Salz, Concert Program 2, Vocal Inspirations opens a new chapter in the life of the Prince of Song. As his prospects for a career as an opera composer diminished, Vienna's thriving concert scene prompted Schubert to look to other opportunities. Having secured his reputation as a visionary in the realm of lieder, he set his sights on a new identity, that of a master of all genres musician. During these years, Schubert tackled the musical forms he hoped would lead to his desired future, often incorporating his treasured song melodies into instrumental works. Concert Program 2 complements two of Schubert's finest string quartets with a trio of his most beautiful songs. The program concludes with Beethoven's Grand Septet, a work that inspired Schubert in the instrumental direction when he heard it performed alongside his Rosamunde Quartet in 1824.
Schubert intended the single-movement quartet in C minor, familiarly known by the simple German handle Quartettsatz, meaning quartet movement, as the first movement of a full-length quartet. He also composed 41 measures of an andante movement before abandoning the project. Its tantalizing incompleteness calls to mind Schubert's other partial masterpiece, the Unfinished Symphony. But while generations of listeners have, as Michael Steinberg has written, quote, managed to make peace with the idea that the two complete movements of the B minor symphony somehow constitute a convincing whole, end quote, the compact Quartettsatz leaves us aching for resolution. That ache stems directly from the work's piercing expressivity. In this, the Quartettsatz, composed just short of Schubert's 24th birthday, marks a coming of age in his chamber oeuvre, and in particular among his string quartets. Escher Quartet violinist Aaron Boyd.
And in a very surprisingly important manner, it is the point of departure, actually, for Schubert, which really does separate all of his previous music, which very often included a lot of entertainment music, light music for parties, for friends, for the Schubertiads, which was just for his friends. And suddenly, from the Quartetsatz on, we have a new, deeper, more serioso, dramatic element of the music. And so the fact that the Quartetsatz, the quartet movement, is one movement, it almost acts as a kind of overture to the final period of his life.
The concise exposition of the Quartetsatz introduces two contrasting humors, brought together with impressive facility into one emotionally complex utterance. The work begins with a menacing fusillade of pianissimo 16th notes, escalating quickly to an impassioned fortissimo cry. This opening salvo is immediately transformed into a soft legato melody. A tune of inspired lyricism follows in the first violin, marked dolce, and buoyed by a gently lilting accompaniment in the lower strings. Then, with a pithiness redolent of Beethoven's Serioso Quartet, anxiety and tenderness find space to coexist within the same richly expressive measures. The psychic complexity of these bars results largely from harmonic sleights of hand, as Schubert leads the ear through strange resolutions and nervous dissonances. The development section moves even more restlessly from one harmonic region to another, leaving the listener disoriented, unsure of the way back home. The arrival of the recapitulation foregoes a reprisal of the fierce rat-tat-tat of the opening measures, saving its return for the movement's startling conclusion. Schubert likely composed the lied Das Sie hier gewesen in 1823. The song sets a text by the German poet Friedrich Ruckert.
That the east wind blows fragrances gently through the air, thus makes it known to me that you were here. That tears here flow will make it known to you, had you otherwise not known that I was here. Beauty or love, whether they remain hidden, make it known by fragrances and tears that they were here.
The plangent dissonances, halting rhythm, and sighing melodic gestures of Schubert's setting express the poem's melancholy with startling accuracy.
Dass der Ostwind düfte, hauchet in dadurch tut er kund,
Du bist die Ruhe likewise sets a text by Rückert, and was published in 1826 as part of a set of four songs, including Das Sie hier gewesen, that appeared as Schubert's Opus 59.
Thou art rest and gentle peace, all earthly woes where thou art cease. Trouble shall flee far from my soul, my heart by thee shall be made whole. Prefacing the final work on the program, Schubert's Rosamunde Quartet, the Lieder set on Concert Program 2 concludes with Die Götter Griechenlands, composed in 1819 on a text by Friedrich Schiller. Schubert would recall the song's opening figure in the piano 5 years later in the minuet movement of the Rosamunde Quartet.
In 1823, Schubert took gravely ill, contracting what almost certainly was syphilis. Accounts left by personal acquaintances suggest that Schubert led a kind of double life and also suggest an insatiable sexual appetite. One early biographer notes, Schubert had, so to speak, a double nature, the Viennese gaiety being interwoven and ennobled by a trait of deep melancholy. Inwardly a poet, and outwardly a kind of hedonist. After Schubert's death, his friend Franz von Schober linked the composer's illness to, quote, excessively indulgent sensual living and its consequences, end quote. In a letter dated March 31st, 1824, Schubert wrote to his friend, the painter Leopold Kupelwieser,
I feel myself the most unhappy, the most wretched man in the world. Think of a man whose health will never be sound again, and who, out of sheer despair over that, does everything to make matters constantly worse instead of better. Think of a man, I say, whose brightest hopes have come to nothing, to whom love and friendship at best offer only pain. Someone whose response, creative response at least, to all that is beautiful threatens to vanish, and ask yourself whether he isn't a miserable, unfortunate fellow. My peace is gone, my heart is heavy, never but never again shall I find peace. That could be my daily song now, for each night when I go to sleep, I hope never to wake again, and each morning brings back to me yesterday's grief.
This poignant testament to the 27-year-old composer's despair comes 2 years after the medical diagnosis that would so darken the short remainder of Schubert's life. Yet Schubert also confides to Kupelwieser that he remains able to find release in his compositional activity, which would not abate even in the face of crisis. Quote, several instrumental works, two quartets, and an octet. I want to write another quartet. In fact, I intend to pave my way towards a big symphony. End quote. In the same month as his letter to Kupelwieser, Schubert completed the string quartets in A minor, Rosamunde, and D minor, Der Tod und das Mädchen. These two and the quartet in G major, composed 2 years later, can rightfully be heard as Schubert's entry into the arena of Beethoven's Razumovsky quartets. Together, they represent his crowning achievements in the string quartet medium.
My peace is gone, my heart is heavy. Never but never again shall I find peace. These words, quoted in the letter to Kupelwieser, come from Goethe's Faust and appear in Schubert's Lied Gretchen am Spinnrade, composed in 1814. As the A minor quartet begins, the second violin recalls the piano accompaniment of that lead, atop a dirge-like thrum in the viola and cello. The first violin presents the tearful theme, first in A minor, and then soon in A major. Yet, in Schubert's nuanced fashion, it's the major key iteration that breaks the listener's heart. Aaron Boyd.
I think anytime any one of us is experiencing something joyful, and in the midst of experiencing this joyful thing remembers that ultimately it will end, that we will die, and that the party will go on without us once we're gone, and that's an incredibly sorrowful and terrifying thought. That, for me, is what's happening in Schubert all the time. I mean, first of all, he knew he was very ill, and he knew that from the time he was 25 years old. And so this joy of life alongside the misery of knowing that he will be leaving it soon. It's always in the music, always.
In addition to the sheer emotional gravity of the music, the Allegro ma non troppo likewise presents bold strokes on the part of the composer. A brief transitional passage in the exposition, marked by defiant, fist-in-the-air octave leaps, becomes the point of departure for a more forceful declaration in the development section. The development wends its way through a series of daring harmonic changes, culminating in anxious fragments of the main theme set against the thrumming accompaniment in the lower strings. At the movement's recapitulation, the music returns to the home key of A minor on a note of resignation rather than triumph. The Andante second movement is based on a theme from Schubert's incidental music to Wilhelm von Chezy's Rosamunde. The music far outclassed von Chezy's play, an unqualified failure that was cancelled after just two performances. But this melody in particular, originally intended as the play's entr'acte, provided Schubert with considerable mileage. He would revisit it again 3 years later with his impromptu in B-flat, D935 number 3. This is music of beguiling simplicity, with Schubert's melodic gift on full display. The opening gesture of the Menuetto recalls Schubert's setting of Friedrich Schiller's Die Götter Griechenlands, which begins, "Fair world, where art thou? Come again, glorious age of nature." Are we to hear Schubert's allusion to Schiller's words here as the wistful reflections of a man facing his mortality? As the movement proceeds, we encounter further smiling through tears, as Schubert juxtaposes sustained melancholic harmonies with graceful, light-hearted gestures, more becoming of a traditional minuet movement, but underscored by an accompaniment pattern reminiscent of the first movement's Gretchen Amspenrade figure. The quartet concludes with a rustic finale, derived from Hungarian folk music, in bright A major. Yet, in the wake of what bittersweet strains have come before, the elan of this music cannot help but feel subdued.
If his aborted C minor quartet, the Quartettsatz, can be considered the launching pad towards Schubert's fully matured, public-facing approach to writing for string quartet, the Rosamunde signals that approach's fruition. The work was premiered by the Schuppanzig Quartet in March 1824 on a program alongside the Opus 20 Septet of Beethoven, whose mantle Schubert might have been set to inherit under more auspicious circumstances. Alas, at the time of his death, just 4 years later, this would be his only quartet to have been publicly performed in its entirety, and his only chamber work to have yet appeared in print.
The program concludes with Ludwig van Beethoven's Opus 20 Septet for Winds and Strings.
Beethoven began sketching the Opus 20 Septet for Winds and Strings in 1799, and completed the work early the following year, around the time of the onset of his hearing loss. The work is scored for a pseudo-orchestral ensemble of clarinet, bassoon, horn, violin, viola, cello, and double bass. Its general life-affirming character seems to have eased Beethoven's anguish in the face of burgeoning crisis. He wrote to his publisher, quote, "This septet has pleased me greatly," end quote. Beethoven, moreover, seems to have regarded the work highly. An oft-cited anecdote holds that when Haydn complimented Beethoven on his ballet, The Creatures of Prometheus, following that work's premiere, the younger composer punningly remarked to his teacher that it was no creation, referring to Haydn's great oratorio. Haydn, too proud to appreciate the joke, replied, "Indeed, it is no creation, and I doubt that it ever will be." Thus the context surrounding Beethoven's triumphant remark following the septet's premiere, "This is my creation." Following an amiable introduction, the first movement proceeds to its main allegro section. The violin introduces the galloping first theme, followed in turn by the clarinet. The development section begins with frenzied fragments of this theme before launching into a mysterious variation. After a standard recapitulation, Beethoven ends the movement with a coda. This coda demonstrates Beethoven's skillful handling of instruments. First, he pairs the clarinet with the horn, then with the bassoon, before the strings send the movement to its final cadence. The slow second movement presents an inspired series of beautiful melodies, beginning with this sweet tune in the clarinet. Beethoven again demonstrates great facility in combining the timbres of winds and strings, as in this strangely wonderful duet between the violin and bassoon. Or this passage, featuring a magisterial horn solo atop quietly pulsing chords in the strings. The third movement is a charming minuet. The septet's fourth movement is a theme and variations. Beethoven's theme begins with a contrapuntal statement in the violin and viola alone. The clarinet and bassoon answer, accompanied by the full ensemble. The first variation features the trio of violin, viola, and cello. Contrary to common practice, Beethoven assigns the violin an accompanying role, while the viola and cello take melodic turns. As throughout each of the work's seven movements, Beethoven uses these variations as an opportunity to showcase each instrument's capabilities. The scherzo exudes a rustic joyfulness characteristic of the classical period. The finale begins with the septet's first dark passage. But the violin and cello immediately embark on a playful adventure, introducing the movement's first theme. The violin and cello combine again to present the second theme. Despite the septet's regard for the classical mannerisms of Haydn and Mozart, the development section of the finale nevertheless looks ahead to the sense of drama that can only be described as Beethovenian. One notable passage that departs from standard sonata form is the exquisite violin cadenza, which Beethoven uses to lead back into the recapitulation. Thank you. Audio Notes is authored and produced by Patrick Castillo and narrated by David Finkel, Wuhan, Patrick Castillo, and Rachel Sokolov. Additional mastering is provided by Dahong Situ. Musical excerpts on this disc appear courtesy of the following artists and organizations: Schubert's Quartettsatz and Rosamunde Quartet, and Mozart's String Quartet No. 15 in D minor, performed by the Emerson String Quartet, and Schubert's Das Sie hier gewesen, Du bist die Ruhe und die Götter Griechenlands, performed by Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau and Gerald Moore, appear courtesy of Deutsche Grammophon. Schubert's Overture in C minor is performed by the Oren Quartet, and appears courtesy of Erschienen by CPO. Schubert's Gretchen am Spinnrade is performed by Marie McLaughlin and Graham Johnson, and appears courtesy of Hyperion Records. Schubert's An die Musik, Elkenich and Die Forella, performed by Christopherin Nomura and Derek Hahn, and Trout Quintet, performed by Wuhan, Philip Setzer, Sinyun Huang, David Finkel, and Charles Chandler, and Beethoven's Septet, performed by Anthony McGill, Dennis Godburn, William Vermeulen, Joseph Silverstein, Geraldine Walter, Ronald Thomas, and Charles Chandler, appear courtesy of Music at Menlo Live. Audio Notes is a copyrighted production of Artist Led.